It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into hour two of a numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Remember, no Gil Alexander this week or next week. Good first hour, running a best of Gil Alexander, Ed Miller, and Matthew David out. Tomorrow we'll go back to regularly scheduled programming with myself for 2 hours. Vinny Maiulo will be back in the mix. We'll talk some golf. We'll talk some UFC as well. Preview the event coming up this weekend, maybe a little bit more baseball, NBA. We'll go all over the place. And we'll do the same today. And for that, we'll bring on Tom Byrne in just a few moments. We'll be talking NBA series prices with him, or not series prices, rather, season win totals. Later on the show, we'll talk with Dwayne Colucci and go over NHL series prices and look at the playoff format with him. Take a look behind the counter at the Rampart and see what kind of action they've gotten heading into this weekend and for golf and UFC and much more beyond that. So we'll have Dwayne at the end of the show. We'll get Tom Byrne in just a few moments. And in between, I'll go over some more props. Once again, we'll go to baseball. I'm going to look at some of these teams and their odds to make the playoffs. I think a few stick out that could be worth some good betting value. So we'll be sure to dive into that in about 20 minutes or so. But once again, we'll finish off with Dwayne Colucci. I'll do some props. But now we're going to talk to our friend Tom Byrne of SiriusXM NBA Radio. At One Tom Byrne is where you could reach him on Twitter. Tom, as always, appreciate the time. How are you doing today?
Dandy, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing excellent. Excited for these sports to hopefully get back in action. And I guess that's my first question for you. So, you know, these players, they're all getting to Orlando. Most of them are there. Some of them were a little bit of stragglers. But we've already seen one player cross the line to get Uber Eats, Postmates, whatever it was. Are you still very confident that they play this whole return, or do you think there's going to be some kind of issue that disrupts it at some point on?
Well, I'm confident, Danny, that they did all they could. I mean, CDC officials have widely praised Adam Silver's return to play plan. It's $150 million a day for a reason. The reality is, though, I don't know how much integrity the bubble has if the Walt Disney World staff members could come and go as they please. Now let's assume, you know, there's a youngin' on the staff. He wants to go get loose on a Friday night. Now he comes back on Monday and is in the same building as the Milwaukee Bucks. And Giannis Antetokounmpo comes in contact with him. So that could be problematic, obviously. I suppose it's a good sign. Only two guys inside the bubble out of 300-plus have tested positive. So, I mean, I guess if you want to, you could say that's good news. The problem, of course, is the way Florida has handled the epidemic. They've done an awful job. The governor there, let's be honest, looks like a horse's ass. He did a pathetic job. You know, nobody's wearing a mask. You know, so bottom line is they've gone right into the epicenter. Look at the NHL, Danny. They may have done it right. They went north of the border, waited to the last minute. They probably have the best chance of finishing. But I don't think, you know, again, I don't think it's out of the question the NBA can find a way to conclude without COVID-19 rampaging through the league. But I can't say it won't either.
All right. And then how about just the whole aspect of this championship potentially having an asterisk on it? I mean, assuming everyone pretty much stays healthy throughout, do you still apply the asterisk there? And if, say, you know, a star player, a Giannis, a LeBron, whoever it may be, if they get, you know, called out because of COVID, whatever it may be, do you think that asterisk will rightfully so be implemented there? I mean, how are you viewing this champion at the end of the postseason?
As long as COVID-19 doesn't run rampant, then I think there is absolutely no way in the world you could justify having an asterisk there. Think about it. It's still best of seven, first, second, third, and final round of the finals, right? I mean, you played 60-plus games already. Now you get another eight. All right, you had a four-month layoff. I mean, it is what it is. I've heard a lot of people say the opposite. In fact, around the game, people are saying that this will be one of the more impressive championships in history, especially if, let's say, the Lakers or the Bucks win the championship, which seems like they're even the Clippers. These teams would have done so without home court advantage. And for somebody like LeBron, he would have had home court advantage all seven games against the Clippers. I mean, they could put the red, white, and blue colors and do anything they want on the floor. The bottom line is, in the stands, they're going to be wearing purple and gold, as you well know. So, no, I don't think so. Let's see how it plays out. Obviously, if Giannis contracts the virus, if LeBron contracts the virus, if Embiid comes down with it, then things start to change. But until then, no, absolutely not. No asterisks.
It's a numbers game brought to you by BetMGM. Tom Byrne joining us here on the program, previewing some of these NBA season win totals, and we'll go into those, which the odds courtesy of BetMGM. And Tom, I want to start with the defending NBA champions, the Toronto Raptors. We see their win total at 4.5 at BetMGM, minus 110 each way. Now, I know we've already talked about this, and I'm agreeing with you in this sense with how you're going to go. I personally go a little bit toward the under here. We heard Pascal Siakam said he didn't even pick up a ball for about 2 to 3 months, whatever it may be. Maybe that's the case with a lot of players. Granted, they still have a lot of time to get back in the mix. But what's your assessment on this Raptors team heading into these 8 seeding games?
Yeah, I like what they've done to say the least. 46-18, they're long, they're athletic, they're creative defensively. Nick Nurse has done an outstanding job. He's coach of the year. I still worry about them, though, in a big spot come the postseason, because I don't know who takes them home with the shot clock turned off with no Kawhi. In the history of the sport, maybe one team, the 2004 Pistons, has won a championship without that top 10 guy, and they had 4 or 5 guys playing at a Hall of Fame level. I don't know if Toronto's that good. So, you know, I take a look at their schedule. Lakers, Heat, Magic, Celtics, Grizzlies, Bucks, Sixers, and Nuggets. I don't see a lot of wins there. Sure, I could favor them against Memphis. I could give them, if I want to, the benefit of the doubt over the Denver Nuggets or the 3 seed, but all right, maybe they beat the Magic. You know, the Heat, that's a coin flip. The Lakers is a loss. Milwaukee's a loss. I think Philly is going to have a big-time 8-seeding game run here because their ceiling's still high, so I might even lean toward Philly in that game, and they've got a little momentum in theory at that point because Philly's schedule is awful. They might be 6-0 going into that game. So I think keeping all that in mind, the under on Toronto is the only play.
Yeah, I agree with you. I look toward the under with Toronto at 4.5, but I got to ask you because, like you said, they have a tough schedule, and one of those teams that is going to be tough is the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, they catch the Bucks toward the end of the 8-seeding games. It's going to be their 6th game. And I got to ask you, when some of these teams are going up against a team like the Bucks, who have pretty much solidified that 1 seed, how much intensity are we going to see from Milwaukee? Is that maybe a scenario where you think, okay, maybe I'm going to fade them, look to bet against them because they don't necessarily need to go all out in that game?
Yeah, there's some truth to that. And that's why these, you know, scenarios are really tricky. Like I would argue the Lakers, the Clippers, that they really have too much to play for. Even in that first game, I mean, there's 5.5 games separate in two. Doesn't really matter in terms of the seeding for home court, right? It's just about matchups and health. Like Philadelphia, for example, wouldn't they rather stay in a 6 seed, right? They get Boston and they beat 3 times out of 4, and they'd only have Daniel Tice and Enes Kanter to deal with Embiid. Good luck. And if you're Philly, you'd avoid Milwaukee to the Eastern Finals. So there's a ton to consider when you think about these over-under numbers. And it's a great point about Milwaukee. I just feel like the Bucks are a little different. Like, I think they go into that game looking to win because of their mentality and the culture in place. They're not like the Clippers. They're more like the Lakers in that, you know, if Giannis has some sort of issue, they're not going to push him. But if he's able to play, he's going to play. That's Giannis. He's old school with that sort of mentality. And everybody else kind of falls in line. And so I think Milwaukee's going to have a big-time run here. I still think people are sleeping on how good Milwaukee is, frankly.
All right, now staying in the Eastern Conference, how about the Pacers, who have been making a lot of noise during this hiatus, considering we didn't know what was going to happen with Victor Oladipo. Yeah. We still don't really know what's going to happen with him. Their win total's at 4.5, the over plus 160, the under is minus $2. Which way do you lean on this Pacers team? Because there's also been reports that they're one of the teams who's kind of just trying to get out of there in one piece.
Under, no question, under. I mean, first of all, I don't even know if Victor Oladipo is going to play. It's a lousy look. All of a sudden, he might play. We find out it's because there are folks inside the league that don't feel like he should get his $3 million. Now, the Pacers have been adamant they'd pay him either way, but that's a bad look for Vic. I think it's mental. I don't know if he's ready to return to the floor mentally, physically, probably is. Either way, I look at that schedule as a tough one. I don't love this Indiana team. What's their calling card? I mean, what do they do particularly well? They're 17th points per 100 possessions offensively per clean the glass. All right, they're 7th defensively, but that's because they're out there playing hard every night. I give them credit. Like, I don't think their ceiling gets any higher defensively. You know, 7th defensively is about as good as they're going to do. I can't trust this Indiana team and all of a sudden deep Eastern Conference. I don't think they're better than Philly. I don't think they're better than Miami. I don't think they're better than Toronto. I don't think they're better than Boston, and they're certainly not better than Milwaukee. So I think Indiana is going to be there a short period of time, and I look at them as a team to win maybe 3 games of these 8 seeding teams.
Tom Byrne with us here on A Numbers Game, going over some of these NBA season win totals heading to the return to play at the end of July in Orlando. Okay, Tom, you mentioned the Sixers. Now, a team that a lot of people think can give the Bucks potentially the best run for their money. Their win total at 4.5, the over minus 186. The under is plus money at plus 155. How do you see the Sixers team playing out in this return?
They're fascinating. I've never seen a team like them. The contrast home and road is ridiculous. 10-24 on the road, worse than the Knicks. 29-2 at home, better than anybody in the league. You cannot make that up. But because they have Embiid and Simmons, the two young guys, their ceiling is incredibly high. They're the only team that you could sit here and say, you know what, if they lose in six games in the first round, you're not surprised. But if they're on the precipice of knocking out Milwaukee in an Eastern final, you also wouldn't be surprised. Think about that. You never say that sort of stuff in the NBA. But you're such a weird team. I don't know if the chemistry is where it needs to be. Simmons and Embiid get along just fine. They're not best friends. But the reality is they haven't done a great job of surrounding these guys with shooters. When they were at their best, they had shooting. They went out and got Al Horford. They went out and got Josh Richardson. These guys can shoot it a little bit, but they're not exactly Craig Hodges. You know what I'm saying? So I still don't know if they have the floor spacing. A lot of pressure now on Shake Milton, as Embiid will be the five, of course, with Simmons at the four. They'll play off each other quite a bit and have success. But if Shake Milton isn't running the floor and running the team, more importantly, properly, then none of this is going to matter. He's shooting the three ball excellently in year two. You wonder if it was a flash in the pan, though. We're going to find out. Now, as far as the 5.5 number is concerned, it's too low. You got to go over there. I mean, listen to the schedule, okay? Pacers, Spurs, Wizards, Magic, Blazers, Suns. I mean, think about that. That's a record that's at least 5-1, 6-0, heading into the Toronto and Houston matchup. So I like this Philly over. And for Brett Brown, it's an important postseason. You know, he's got to try to fit a lot of square pegs in the round holes. But he's going to have a little momentum, I would assume, going into the playoffs. I think the over on Philly is a solid bet.
All right. Speaking of an over team, and the last one I'll go over with for you in the Eastern Conference, this one I think is a really good bet personally. And I like this probably more so than a lot of other ones, but it's the Miami Heat and their win totals at 4.5. The over at BetMGM is actually as high as +165. The under the favorite -$2. You get the Nuggets, Raptors, Celtics, Bucks, Suns, Pacers, Thunder, and the Pacers again. Now, those last five games, I think Miami could go on a 5-game winning streak, arguably, because of pretty much what I pointed out with Milwaukee. If they're in a position where they don't need to go all out, I think the Heat have a good chance to get a win there. They're still 2.5 games back from the third position, 2 in front of the Pacers. So those two games naturally against Indiana are going to be a big factor. I think the Heat can get the 5 wins, and I love the value at +165.
Interesting. This is a stay away to me. I still don't know what to make of this team. 17 above 500. Their efficiency differential is a solid +3.5. They take bad shots, but they make them the third offensively and effective field goal percentage, seventh offensively. They're not great defensively. People assume it's Spoelstra, it's Miami. They're a great defensive team led by Jimmy Butler. No, they're really not. They're 12th defensively. They're not going to get big stops, but they could get buckets. Here's my issue with Miami, and it's not so much in the regular season, 8 seeding games, to your point. So you might be a little bit more comfortable, but one player like Kendrick Nunn, another player like Duncan Robinson, another like Tyler Hero. Are we sure we could count on these guys in big moments moving forward? All right, there's 60-plus games. They played well off of the Bayo and Jimmy Butler. That was great. I don't think any of the three are trending to be top 25 players like folks at South Beach want to dream. And now you're asking them in these big spots against the likes of Milwaukee, Philly, Boston, Toronto to make big shots. I don't love the Miami team as much as everybody else, but forgetting all that, because look, there are no stands in the fans. You might be able to convince yourself that Miami is not only a team that could make a run in the postseason, but a team that's going to whoop up the competition in these 8 games. Like you said, the schedule's manageable. They had a really good record against them in the regular season. I don't know. Something about this Miami team tells me to stay away.
All right, Tom, we got a couple minutes left. I know you had a couple teams you wanted to hit in the Western Conference, being the Clippers and the Nuggets. We see the Clippers at 5.5 with their win total, -145 to the over, the under +120. And then you go down to the Nuggets. They're at 3.5, the over -176, the under +145. What do you like about those teams?
I like the over on the Clippers, under on Denver. Clippers have too much talent. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, this is the time he shines. Mr. Load Management is at 4 months off. Paul George isn't feeling any pain in his shoulders for the first time, and they've had their number one unit together. They look like either the first or second best team in the league. I mean, they're just outstanding on both ends of the floor. You look at the competition ahead. All right, the Lakers game's tough, but even beyond that game, I just don't see them being pushed all that much if they go at this the right way. We don't know they will, Danny. So that's what makes this problematic. I don't know if Doc Rivers is going to play Kawhi for 6, 7, 8 games, but I would lean over there. Denver, believe it or not, this might surprise you. I take the under. What is Denver's identity? Do they defend well? No. Do they get buckets? Yeah, they do. They're like 10th offensively or somewhere in that range. The reality, though, is Gary Harris is going the wrong direction now 2 years in a row. A couple of years ago, the only guys his age scoring more were Giannis and Embiid. Now he's not even close to being in that category. Jamal Murray still hasn't ascended to a top 25 level. Nikola Jokic looks like he's in shape, raring, and ready to go. The reality is maybe he lost too much weight, though, because I thought he might bully Houston in that potential 3-6 matchup. I don't know if he's capable now looking at him. He looks about. I don't love this schedule at all. Mike Malone, interestingly enough, had to get on his guys a handful of times this year. I think they're fortunate to be in that 3 seed. I think you're going to see Denver fall, go 3-5 in these 8 games. And maybe be, if they're in a position to play Dallas, for example, they'd be upset in the first round.
All right, there you go. Tom Byrne, great analysis throughout the NBA. As always, you can catch him on Twitter at @OneTomByrne. Listen to him, SiriusXM NBA Radio and Mad Dog Radio on the weekends as well. Tom, as always, appreciate the time.
Danny, talk soon.
All right, sounds like a plan. Great stuff from Tom Byrne. We'll switch gears, talk some baseball. We'll go props. Which teams do I think have some pretty decent value to make the playoffs via DraftKings? We'll look over some of those when we return here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dwayne Colucci is still to come as well. Welcome back into A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Danny Burke filling in for Gil Alexander. Big thanks. Last segment, Tom Byrne joining the program, going over some of those NBA season win totals throughout the Eastern and Western Conference. Now I'm going to switch over. We're going to talk some baseball. In this block, we usually like to do some props that stick out to me. And, you know, we've hit a lot of them that have really stuck out to me more so than others. But I did a little bit deeper dive on baseball because we're getting that back hopefully next week. And I looked at the odds to make the playoffs, and the teams I had and the odds I looked at were over at DraftKings if you're curious about it yourself. So I'm just going to go over some of these teams in order that we see. And I'm going to start with the Rays. They're yes, minus 110, no, minus 110 to make the playoffs. I'm gravitating toward the yes in this spot because the Rays are a team that we've seen improve year in and year out. They're slowly catching up to the Yankees. Obviously, they're not the same caliber as the Yankees, or we don't assume they're going to be this season, but anything can happen in this kind of strange setup that we have. And if you look at the division, naturally, we know the Orioles are an easy team to go against. The Red Sox, as myself and Jeff Erickson talked about yesterday, we're looking to them to be on the declining side of things. And I know Gil, for example, Gil likes the Blue Jays. I believe same with Jason Weingartner. No, it was Paul Spohr, excuse me, who liked the Blue Jays too. And I think they'll be a young, exciting team, maybe a little bit too early for them. The 60-game season certainly could benefit them with a young team, spry and full of energy. But I certainly do think the Rays are still the second-best team in that division. Now, obviously, that wouldn't get them to the playoffs there, but there's a chance for the wild card. And I just think with the rotation that they have, Morton, Snell, Glass now, and their strong bullpen, I think the Rays are a team primed to thrive in the 60-game setup and have a great wild card opportunity yet again in the American League. So the Rays are yes, minus 110, no, minus 110 over at DraftKings. I'm leaning toward Tampa Bay Rays to be the yes to make the playoffs at minus 110. All right, now let's transition here a little bit. And a team that may be a little bit shocking, and I know Josh Towers is going to like this one because his producer Kelly Bidlin informed me that Josh Towers is kind of on the same page here where there could be some good value. And this is with the Texas Rangers. The yes to make the playoffs is plus 650. The no over minus 1100. And you got to know what the Rangers did in the offseason. Not anything too big for premier names, but they bring in Corey Kluber. And this is already to a veteran-laden strong pitching staff. Lance Lynn, Mike Minor, they have a solid rotation. Jordan Lyles comes in the mix. Kyle Gibson as well. But Lance Lynn and Mike Minor were two guys who were just dominant through a stretch. And the Rangers heading to the end of June were 10 games above 500. Then you see Gallo and Pence got injured and everything just started going downhill. So they also bring in Todd Frazier, Robinson Chirinos. They have enough power, in my opinion, offensively to support this group for a short period of time. you know, over 162 game season, would I look to back them to make the playoffs? No, because naturally you're going to see the teams who deserve to make it over the course of time. And there could be a slow start or hit a low like they kind of did last season after June. But once again, I think the 60 game season could benefit a team like the Rangers, who have a strong pitching staff. Like I said, enough power and consistency on the offensive side to make the playoffs. Not coming over the Astros by any means or the A's. It's going to be tough. I understand that. But I think the wild card could be in their future. I mean, they're even 16-1 to win the AL West itself. So some even better value there. But I think just based off the value alone and the tools that they have, that could make an uprising. I think, yes, plus 650 might just be worth a look at, maybe just a little bit for their value. So the Rangers plus 650, I'm looking and I'm liking a little bit with the Texas Rangers to make the playoffs. Now, how about the defending World Series champions? The Washington Nationals, they are even money to make the playoffs. The no is the favorite, minus 121. Yes, they still have a strong pitching rotation with Max Scherzer, Strasburg, Patrick Corbin. They combined for a 3.18 ERA across 93 starts. However, as we know, they lose Rendon. He's with the Angels now. They got off to that slow start last season, 19-31. You add that in, not saying it's going to happen again. It's not something that might happen back to back, but it's also the World Series hangover aspect. It's that combined with it and Rendon being gone as well. They don't have a good bullpen. Can their starters do enough efficiently to keep it up through the course of 60 games? I'm not so sure. I mean, can they produce that consistent offense? Yeah, I think so. But is it going to be enough to hold up that bullpen? Can those starters go on longer innings? Are they going to be held on a longer leash rather than a shorter one like we might see? I'm not so sure, but I'm not quick to rush to betting the Nationals to make the playoffs. I like the no at minus 121. And sticking in that same division really quick, the Phillies have some pretty good value. The yes plus 215 to make the playoffs, no minus 275. Look, I'm not the biggest guy in the Phillies here, but based off the value and what they have offensively, I think that could be worth a play just based off the value alone. Plus 215 to make the playoffs, something to take a gander at. Once again, the pitching's kind of an issue, same with the bullpen, but offensively, they could thrive in the 60-game season as well. All right, when we return on a numbers game, we'll talk some hockey and behind-the-counter update with our man, Dwayne Colucci.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You could get 20% off with the code VEASAN20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at Manscaped.com with the promo code VEASAN20. Welcome back to VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. Danny Burke filling in on a numbers game for Gil Alexander. We're going to talk with our man, Dwayne Colucci, manager of the Race and Sports over at the Rampart Casino at NY Bookie. Dwayne is where you can follow him on Twitter. Dwayne, it's nice to talk to you again, my man. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Danny. Staying safe. How about yourself?
Same here, and that's the plan, and we're hoping the same for everybody else. So glad to hear that you're doing good, Dwayne. And let's get right into it over at the Rampart and just kind of going over what action you guys have seen. It's been a little while since we've gotten an update from your side of the counter, Dwayne. And I want to start with UFC last night. And it was a fun event. It was nice to be able to get that all free on ESPN. So not as many, I guess you could say, discrepancies with people complaining about the judges' ratings or rather grading and who's going to win. We saw a lot of problems with it this past weekend. Yesterday, a little bit, but not as much. Is that something you see from your side of the counter being a concern going forth, or are you going to just plan on still seeing a bunch of UFC action coming in because of the lack of sports as of this point?
Well, Danny, the handle on UFC has been amazing, and I believe that trend will continue here at the Rampart and South Point. You know, Dana White is doing a fabulous job. He's really putting these cards together very well in Abu Dhabi, at the facility here in Las Vegas, just doing a tremendous job. And I do see the buzz on social media about how the judges sit next to, last night, for example, Michael Bisping. And it seemed that what Bisping was saying was what was on the judges' scorecards, basically. So that's the grumbling that you're talking about. But in my sports book, the handle has been unbelievable. I mean, I posted that Usman ticket last weekend. We took 25,000 on Usman minus 250 here at the Rampart. So we're taking high limits, Danny. And, you know, the crowd just loves it. So I think it's a great, great sport. It adds to the betting menu right now, which we don't have much to offer other than UFC, soccer, leagues of soccer, Asian baseball, as well as the golf. So, you know, it's been really, really exciting to see Chris and the guys expand our betting menu, especially with the UFC and golf. But I think the UFC interest will remain where it's at, Danny, which is the top of our handle.
And Dwayne, speaking of golf, one of the other sports, like you mentioned, that is available to bet as of this point, Memorial going underway as we speak right now. What kind of action did you see heading into today with the Memorial Tournament? And how about just golf overall? I'm sure you're seeing a lot more handle on that as well.
Yeah, and especially with the exciting finish of last weekend, Danny. So, yes, the golf handle has been great. DeChambeau, Thomas, you know, you had Tiger back in action this weekend. We saw a fabulous over-the-counter handle, as well as fabulous handle as well on the mobile application. So, definitely a great, let me say, tournament upcoming, the Memorial this weekend. When you have all these big names, the McIlroys, the Thomas, like I said, Koepka and Tiger Woods, we're going to see a great handle. And you had some of these opening round threesomes that were very enticing. Rory, Tiger, and Koepka teeing off together at Mirfield Village, DeChambeau, Morikawa, and Cantley. So great threesomes to open the golf action today, and we saw a fabulous handle, Danny.
All right, Dwayne, and then how about just looking forward to the major U.S. sports returning, being baseball, NBA, and NHL, and even farther down the road with the NFL. What kind of action have you guys seen with the early futures and offseason department? Have you seen maybe more considerable handle because, once again, not that much to bet on? People are focusing more so on these offseason specials.
Yeah, Danny, when you don't have the individual games that you're able to put up, it's very difficult, so you're going to see more and more futures action across the board. The NFL futures have been great because everybody's anticipating that will be the one league that will definitely play. We made the massive adjustments on the baseball, and we had to adjust win totals. We now have those up, so we're seeing some handle on the baseball, but I think a lot of people are still waiting to see, Danny, if Mike Trout is going to play. He's a big, big name, and certain players, when they come out with fear of COVID and they're still, you know, pondering whether to play, if they'll play every day, baseball is going to be a hard sport to handicap. So I'm seeing much more futures right on the NBA, on the NHL, and on the NFL, just because I think baseball is the big question mark. You're really packing these games in. How long will the starters go, Danny? You know, will they go two innings? Will the starters actually start that are announced the day before? So baseball is going to be the most difficult. You know, you could see the rosters for the NHL and the NBA. You will know who is going to sit out and who is going to play in these playoffs and these round robins. So you have a little more advantage as a bettor. So I'm seeing more handle on those sports. I think baseball is the big question mark. Definitely the NFL will have some question marks if they don't have a preseason, because you have a lot of faces in new places. Phillip Rivers, you know, these guys have to get reps, definitely. So I'm seeing more handle on the NFL, NHL, and the NBA than the baseball. But yes, we are seeing increased futures right just because we don't have individual games up thus far other than in the NBA.
Dwayne, we got about a minute left before we start going with the NHL series prices next segment. But first, I want to talk to you about college football. We already saw the Big Ten announce they're only going to be doing conference games. What's your estimation and just perception of what we're going to see in college football this season, if at all?
Yeah, Danny, that's the key you just said, if at all. It's a scary situation right now. You're seeing several conferences opt out. Conferences that are just saying we're going to play within conference, and it's definitely going to affect our betting menu. It has affected already futures handle because we really can't put up future prices. So it's going to be intriguing to see how all the college sports handle, if they're going to just wait till next year, if they will even kick off these college football games. I'm very scared for the kids. The COVID is still the big factor out there, Danny. And when you're dealing with kids who are not playing for a living, it's a lot different than playing NFL football. And football is a full contact sport. Definitely there's sweat flying around. You have spit, you have, blood, basically. So It's going to be interesting to see how college handles and how each conference handles their football programs. So tough as a bookmaker, Danny, very tough. I really believe that they're going to end up scrapping the college football, to my disappointment and to the fans' disappointment. I just don't think it's the right time. You saw the outbreak, the LSU, Clemson. So we have to be careful, Danny.
All right. Well, Dwayne, when we come back, we'll go to the NHL. Excited for this. We'll get your thoughts on all the NHL series prices, Eastern and Western Conference, those odds via Southpoint and Rampart when we return here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
BetMGM is giving new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on Tiger Woods to win the Memorial this weekend. As long as he finishes the tournament in the top 50, you win $100. All you have to do is sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this offer. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets when you bet $1 on Tiger Woods to win the Memorial this weekend, and he comes in the top 50. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia to bet. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. All right, welcome back to the final segment of A Numbers Game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Danny Burke alongside Dwayne Colucci. We're going to go over some of these NHL series prices, and we're going to start at the top of the Eastern Conference, going with the Canadiens and the Penguins. Penguins, no shocker, Dwayne, a big favorite, -240. Canadiens on the buyback, 2-1. We've seen a lot of love and attention toward this Penguins team, considering who they're going up against, and it's the anomaly that I like to say that are the Canadiens, because they've been so inconsistent throughout this season. It just seems completely lopsided in this matchup, Dwayne.
Yeah, they're my team too, Danny. So definitely a parody and an enigma to Montreal Canadiens. We're seeing right now a 5-1 ticket right in the series on the Penguins. Yeah, the Penguins are the hot side. Getting Jake Guentzel back, you have Crosby, Malkin, Zucker, Russ. They have a solid team. And Montreal is basically what they're relying on now, what I'm seeing in these practices, Danny. They're bringing back Kotkaniemi. They have Ryan Poehling there. They're using younger players in the practices, but they're going to lean on Carey Price. That's the whole key, is if Price could come out of the COVID break and just be the top goaltender like he's paid in the NHL. But that's so hard to gauge, Danny, because the defense is very suspect in front of him. You have Victor Matey, you do have Shea Weber, who's one of the top five defensemen in the league, but after that it gets thin. And then you have Max Domi, who also, he has type 1 diabetes, so you don't know. He's one of their catalysts and one of their enforcers. So if he's not able to suit up just because he's going to try to avoid the COVID, and rightfully so, it's going to be all Pittsburgh in this series. It's going to be interesting, though, to see who gets this nod. I think Jari will get the nod over Murray. He stole the starting position during the NHL season. So we're looking at a lot of Penguin money over the counter. Like I said, it's a 5-1 ticket, right? I'm seeing a lot of the experts pick an easy, decisive Pittsburgh series win. But let's watch that Pittsburgh defense, because that's what faltered last year, Danny. Mm-hmm. That's what costed them against the Islanders. It's going to be a pretty good series. I think Montreal could maybe nail one game, but it's going to be very difficult to beat Pittsburgh. I give Pittsburgh an advantage in this one.
All right, Dwayne, you mentioned the Islanders. They're going up against the Panthers, minus 110 each way. The Panthers, goaltending, really didn't live up to the hype with Bobrovsky not living up to his contract. Can he bounce back in this hiatus, and can the Islanders get on another nice streak that we saw way at the beginning of the season? How do you envision this series playing out?
Yeah, well, the Islanders' defense has to come and play, Danny, because Huberdeau and Barkov and those guys rank sixth in total offense does Florida. So they're going to put a barrage out there. And if, like you said, their big money goaltender, Bobrovsky, could actually show up, they definitely have a slight advantage here. That's why you're seeing the Islanders, who are a battle-tested team, only a minus 110 each way at the Rampart and South Point. You know, but Barry Trotz is a genius. Let's put it that way, Danny. It's going to be difficult to outcoach him. But this Florida offense, if it starts to click, and the goaltending, Bobrovsky has gotten hot at several times, and he could definitely dominate a series. We've seen that before. They've paid this guy a ton of money. I think he could still outperform Varlamov and Greiss. So I'm going to give Florida a slight advantage here. I like their offense. I think that New York is going to have a lot of trouble, you know, just dealing with the offense as well as Bobrovsky. But you have to bank on him really coming out strong, Danny. That's the whole key. He has to be able to dominate the series and outplay the goalie tandem of the New York Islanders.
All right, Dwayne, then how about the Maple Leafs, the pretty considerable favorite, minus the -160. On the other side, Columbus, the Blue Jackets, again, plus 140. We know how good offensively the Maple Leafs are. Do you think the Blue Jackets are potentially worth a look as the underdog in this series?
Oh, yeah, definitely, Dan. You saw what they did last year to Tampa Bay, who was phenomenal. So without a doubt, they are an underdog that has a chance. The Maple Leafs, I'm always leery laying big prices with them. Yeah, you have to lean on that offense with Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander. They're just unbelievable. And Toronto's attack is third in the league, their offensive attack. So definitely have to be careful. I think that the goaltending, though, is a key here. Anderson is not as good as Merz Lincolns, in my opinion. This kid came out of nowhere, a breakout star, unbelievable 925 save percentage. So I think Merz Lincolns could also dominate. And you have to be careful in these short series, Danny. The whole key is going to be the goaltending. If you get a hot goalie, you could ride this guy in a five-game series.
And Dwayne, speaking of goaltending, a team that's been kind of up and down with it, not even kind of, they have been up and down with it on the Western Conference, have been the Blackhawks. But this is a team that's getting some attention just because of the history and the experience they have on that team with the Stanley Cup championships. They're catching plus 150. The Oilers minus a -170 you guys have them at. How do you see this series playing out?
Well, it's dangerous now, Danny, because it looks like Subban is going to have to start in goal. They said that Crawford is not in good shape. So you have to keep your eye on the Blackhawks. They still have Kane. They still have Taze. They have a nice roster, but you're also dealing on the other side with McDavid and Draisaitl. And Draisaitl is probably the MVP of the league. McDavid is the best player in the league. If Nugent Hopkins could chip in a little, he's been the disappointment. Edmonton definitely has an advantage. Also, you know, you don't have a crowd, but they are at home. So I think that's a slight advantage because you're able to go home each night where you don't have to stay in a hotel or what have you. So I think that definitely Crawford is the key. He is not in good shape. So I think Edmonton gets by rather easily in this matchup.
All right. And then how about a team that seems like they're getting a little bit of attention? The Minnesota Wild now at plus 105 going against the Canucks, -1.25. Vancouver is a team that played terrible away from home. Do you foresee that happening once again and would maybe give the advantage to the underdog here? Or do you think that the Canucks offense can do enough to beat the Wild in this matchup?
Well, the whole thing is, like you said, the offense of the Canucks. Now Brock Besser has come out and made a statement. He wasn't happy about trade talks. So you have Elias Pettersson, you have Brock Besser. Bo Horvat is the wily veteran there. He has to keep these kids in check. It's going to be difficult, though. The Wild are battle-tested. They know what to do in certain situations. And they have a great defensive group. They have Suter, they have Spurgeon, they have Brodin, Matt Dumba. These are good defensive players. And if these kids on Vancouver don't have their head into the game, they're going to get shellacked. And Markstrom has to have a big, big series Could he outplay Stalock? I don't know. It's going to be tough. I'll take the Wild in this one on a flyer.
All right, Dwayne. And then we have a couple more teams left in the Western Conference. Coyotes plus 110, Predators minus -130, Jets plus 105, Flames minus 1.25. We got about a minute left, Dwayne. Any thoughts that you think strongly of that you would look toward in any of those series?
Yeah, the goaltending of the Arizona team is going to be very important. They have Kemper. They have Antti Raanta. Great goaltending. Even Aiden Hill, he chipped in. So I think Arizona, we're going to watch that pregame. I believe they play the Golden Knights. So I'm going to keep my eye on that game. The Coyotes are a team that seem to really excel late in the season, Danny. So I like the Coyotes' chances. That's why you're only seeing a plus 110 here at the Rampart and South Point. And on the other hand, you know, you have Rene, you have UC Saros, they're two goaltenders, but I always believe that Nashville is very susceptible. I would keep my eye on the Arizona Coyotes. I like them, +110. I would get down because I think that's going to be a pick 'em, maybe even -110 each way there, or maybe even -115 in favor of Arizona. So I'm looking at the Coyotes definitely in that other matchup. The Flames and the Jets, I think Connor Hellebuck could definitely get by the first round. Flames are a high-powered offense. They have Johnny Hockey and so forth, but I definitely like the big-time goalie that Hellebuck is. You're only getting a plus 105 on the Jets. So I'm giving a couple of underdogs, slight underdogs here, but watch the money start to come in and then gauge where the money is going, Danny, because that's going to be very important. And the upcoming week is what's important here at the Rampart and South Point, because that's when we're going to get plied with the money.
All right. Great analysis, as always, Dwayne. It was a pleasure to talk with you. Hopefully we can do it again soon when we get these sports back in action at NYBookie. Dwayne, excuse me, is where you can follow Dwayne on Twitter. Be sure to pay him a visit down at the Rampart Casino here in Summerlin. All right, Dwayne, really appreciate the time. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Danny. I really appreciate it. Have a fabulous day.
All right, you as well, Dwayne. Big thanks to Dwayne at NYBookie. Dwayne is where you can follow him on Twitter. Okay, I wanted to finish out the NHL series prices with Dwayne. We have some breaking news throughout the NBA. Apparently, Zion Williamson has left Orlando. He's left the Orlando campus to tend to an urgent family medical matter and plans to return for the season restart at a later date. So no Zion Williamson, it looks like, to start the NBA restart back in Orlando. The Pelicans, they're currently 3.5 games back of the Grizzlies. We were going over some of those win totals before with Tom Byrne. They were off the board over at BetMGM. So we'll see what happens with the betting implications on more so of a day-to-day basis and their futures odds, of course, as well. So a big key piece going to be absent to start the return for the Pelicans, that being Zion Williamson. All right, a big thanks to Dwayne Colucci. A big thanks to Kelly Bidlin, the crew back in the studio for helping out with the show today. Tomorrow, we'll talk with Vinny, talk some golf, UFC, and more. Thanks for tuning in to A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.